Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Happy hockey season, Tampa Bay. Woo! The game we love, the game that chills us to our core, hockey, it is back. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. My name is Tom Lang, and I am honored to be speaking to you for a full season of Tampa Bay Lightning Talk right here on JoeBucksFan.com. Many thanks to those of you that have come back for another season. I thank you to those who are giving it a try for the first time. If you don't know, if you weren't around for last year, the playoff run, as we covered the Lightning once a week right here, well, here it is, the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. As the voice guy said, as I've said, my name is Tom Lang, and I'll give you a little backstory about me. I record this podcast once a week from the ESPN Tallahassee studios, where I'm the ops manager and executive producer of the Jeff Cameron Show, where we talk about a lot of things. Florida State is the central theme of what we do day to day, but we don't get to talk a lot of hockey. And that's where, for me, this is such a wonderful outlet, because I grew up in the Tampa Bay area. I was raised in Clearwater, ended up moving to Palm Harbor in my high school years, and I fell in love with the Lightning in 1995. It was a 2-1 loss in the Thunderdome. The Ottawa Senators were the visiting team. Darren Pupa got the second star, and an addiction, a positive kind of addiction, was born that night. It's my pleasure to be talking to you about Lightning hockey from here on through, hopefully, what is a run towards Lord Stanley's Cup. And let's do it. Let's talk about expectations right away. You know, joy gets robbed out of a season a little bit when you're talking about Stanley Cup or bust expectations. But that's what we have here in Tampa. It is Stanley Cup or bust. This roster is built. The age of the players is entering prime. For some, it's exiting the middle of their prime. They're going to be heading towards the back half of their careers. There's a lot riding on 2018 and 2019. It's been building to a crescendo. Many of us, myself included, thought perhaps we should have cashed in already and won a cup. But make no mistake, while we don't have decades or generations of history as a hockey market, we've got nearly 30 years, we can still act like a big market this year. It's Stanley Cup or bust. And it's been a busy offseason. You know, I don't think anybody expected, I certainly did myself, Steve Yzerman stepped down? My gosh, what a gut punch that was about a month ago. Your general manager, the architect of the way Tampa Bay Lightning hockey is thought of now, has said, all right, no mas. I'm trying to balance the work and family, and I feel like I've put too much on the work side of the equation for too long. I've been flying back and forth to see my family in Detroit. They never moved down to Tampa. So I'm done. I'm going to be a senior advisor until my contract runs up, and we'll see what happens then. And I think we all know what that means, is that Yzerman's time with the Lightning is done. But does that mean that the Lightning way is over? Ken Holland in Detroit taught Steve Yzerman everything that Stevie Y needed to know about how to run a franchise. And he took that model, he applied it to Tampa, where owner Jeff Vinnick said, I hire people to do what they do best, and I let them fail and succeed doing what they do best. And it worked. Forever in a day, the prospect pool in Tampa was a joke. It was an afterthought. We never had guys in the minors. And Steve Yzerman said, let's build through the draft. You know why? In a salary cap world, the best way to succeed is for your talent to be cheap on the way up, and they produce the lion's share of your goals, assists, points, minutes for defensemen, all of that stuff. And he did it. We are now considered to be a perennial threat in the Eastern Conference. We've done everything except for win the Stanley Cup. It's much more fun when you're going on a steady ride to the top. You're rising. You're surprising analysts around the country, in Canada as well. That's a lot more fun than being oh so close to the apex, the summit, and not having gotten to that highest place in the game. So how do you have fun in a season like this one where the expectations are Stanley Cup or bust? Well, you have a good start because this game is the most entertaining game in the world. I don't care what anybody says. Hockey, night for night, game for game, is the most entertaining game on the planet. You've got speed and skill, and just about every team in the league has someone on their roster that can surprise you, put your jaw on the floor with something that they're able to do better than most others. It's incredible to watch. Outside of Arizona, that's true in this National Hockey League. And the good news for us Bolts fans is Tampa has at least four or five of those type guys. So that's a good start. Just from a pure entertainment value standpoint, you're watching a great sport 82 times before we get to winning time. The next thing is you're looking for details. You're looking for things like determination and grit and toughness, togetherness. Does this team play for one another? If somebody steps out and takes a shot at your captain or takes a shot at one of your star players, who has their back? Is it the entire roster top to bottom? You know, one of the great moments from last season for Steven Stamkos, who morphed his game to something a little bit different than we had been accustomed to seeing. If you look at the disparity of goals and assists, he was much more of a playmaker last year than he was a goal scorer. Not his reputation entering 2017-18. But for my money, one of the great moments for Steven's season was up at the Madison Square Garden, where the New York Rangers come after Nikita Kucherov, and Stamkos steps up in that moment, drops the gloves, and fights for his teammate. That's what a captain should do. You stand up for each other. You know, the President's Trophy means nothing to me. Winning a division, I don't give a damn about anymore. We finally did it last year for the first time in 14 seasons, which for as successful as we've been this decade, that's kind of embarrassing that we had not won a division since the year we won the Cup in 2004. Scratch your head at that one, right? But does winning a division make you feel better when you're coming up short again in the Eastern Conference Finals? You watch Alex Ovechkin celebrate on your ice, and then 10 days later, he's celebrating in Las Vegas like nobody has celebrated before. More on that later, by the way, after the break. No, it doesn't make you feel better that you won a regular season division title. It's not about that right now. There will be a time in the future, but we're going to have to decline and then rise back up again. That's fun. The discovery process is fun. That's what 2015 was for when we got to the Cup final. But not this year. So the next thing you're looking for is the younger players. You're looking for Matthew Joseph. You're looking for Volkov when he gets called up, or Cernak. Who's going to be the Yanni Gourde of this team? Who's going to be the new Braden Point? Those two we're counting on as regular contributors now. Who's the Cirelli? What a great surprise Anthony Cirelli was for the last 6 weeks of the regular season into the playoffs. Okay, how does he continue to develop? Mikhail Sergachev, is he prepared to play 20 to 25 minutes a night? The pairings on defense don't look like he's going to be asked to do that right away. But we all know he's the future. He's one of your future cornerstones at the position. Moreover, his contract is cheap. Once again, a theme here of Steve Yzerman. And I'm really glad we didn't make that Carlson trade in the offseason. That's something else I'll touch on either this week or next week. We'll see how this first segment goes and all the excitement of playing the Florida Panthers tomorrow night. We'll talk about all of those things. So it's about building little things so you can peak at the right time. The fun of it also this year is that you've got a heavyweight fight on your hands in this division. Toronto has been on the rise for a long time. And if you weren't alerted to it before, now you are. Signing John Tavares. Landing the prized July 1st free agent acquisition is more than enough of a signal that Toronto believes it can win now. You combine Tavares' skill set with Austin Matthews, Nylander, Kadri, and others. They're a good goaltender away from being a real threat in this division. You know, Boston last year down the stretch was the problem for Tampa. It was, you have an arch nemesis, you can't win in that building, you're destined to play them at some point in the playoffs. Second round is where you're going to meet the way the brackets shake out. And we slayed that dragon. And that's why I thought that once you get past that hurdle of beating Boston, here you go. The time is now for you. Wasn't to be, but still made for compelling storylines for the regular season and the post. Looks like Toronto wants in on that dance right now. As Boston might be on the decline a little bit, you can't trust it ain't no Chara forever in a day. Toronto is on the rise. So with us, with our cornerstone players, Stamkos, Kucherov, who was extended in the offseason, outstanding. Braden Point, Yanni Gourde, Callahan, who was a superstar down the stretch for us. He was our best player, for my money, at least on the offensive side, in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's a sad statement, but it's also a true statement. And it has nothing to do with denigrating Ryan Callahan, who played his ass off for us. Vasilevsky, does he continue to be that number one goaltender? And then you're back two, all right? So who's on the ice for 25 minutes a night outside of Victor Hedman? Is Strawman still capable of doing that? Ryan McDonagh, integrated into this system. Now that he's more comfortable with the way we play hockey, does it show on the ice? We extended him in the offseason before we had to. I thought that was a little bit questionable, but here you go. Is Dan Girardi going to fit with McDonagh for more than just an idle month-long marriage? Or does Sergachev move up into the top four? You're moving the chess pieces to be set for the postseason. It's about timing it right to play your best hockey when it counts most. That's what the regular season is for. Nothing more when your expectations are Stanley Cup or bust. And that's the discussion we're going to have this year. All the while, we're going to be entertained throughout the season. And it all starts tomorrow. You ready for this? If you're listening on Saturday, it starts tonight. Are you ready for this? The Stinkin' Panthers, as Larry Hirsch coined them in the 1990s, they are the opponent. They're a dark horse candidate in our division to make the playoffs. They believe their time is now. They're trying to put something together. And we always seem to play weird games with Florida. It's either 2-1 and the goaltenders are standing on their head, or it's 7-6 and you feel like you're never going to be able to play defense again. So let's see. The first of 82 is tonight, Tampa Bay. We're going to talk a little bit more about changing identities and the lessons learned in the postseason after the break. But before we do, I really want to, first of all, take a moment to thank Bill Curry Ford. You're going to hear an advertisement every week for Bill Curry Ford in Tampa. But I want to tell you this, my sincere thanks for trusting the Joe Bolts Fan podcast to get the job done for the season. Thank you for investing in this product. Thank you for investing in Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. Frankly, even though I'm 3.5-4 hours away, I'm a consumer just like you guys are. I got to get more Lightning discussion, whether it's following Eric Erlandson or Joe Smith of The Athletic, the Tampa Bay Times. I really don't know anything about who their new guy is going to be now that Joe left for The Athletic, but listening to any of the radio programs down there, there's not enough of it. So thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for believing in this product and sponsoring it all season long, as we're going to be talking about the most exciting franchise in Tampa Bay, one that has been the most exciting for a long time, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts Fan, Joe Bucks Fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Look, little bit of St. Paul and the Broken Bones for you right here on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, presented all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Check these guys out if you like a little bit of soul and or funk on your weekends. I don't get paid to do that. I just really like their music. And so here we are on the eve of the regular season opener. Tampa Bay, Florida Panthers. It's a 7 o'clock or so puck drop from Amalie Arena. That sounds outstanding to me. I don't know about you. A couple of new faces this year for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Matthew Joseph wears number 7 for the Bolts. He's a forward who made the team out of camp. He's been somebody who's been rising through the ranks. We've expected to see him at some point, and here's his crack at making the regular lineup. Don't remember many number 7s in Lightning history other than Rob Zamaner. Not many good ones, at least. Also, Danik Martell is somebody the Bolts picked up off of waivers from Philly. We had him a little while back and let him go. Philly picked him up. I think he's played just 4 career games with the Flyers to skate it to a -1. But he made the team out of camp a bit of a surprise. He wears number 62. The rest, you kind of know these guys. Slater Cuckoo, if he ever plays, wears number 29. But the rest of the roster, Corey Conacher, number 89. These are all the same pieces that we saw last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs run. And before we get this season really going, I want to dip back into the East Finals and some of the lessons of the East Finals that I think apply to where we are, where we're going, hopefully, and how things can change quickly. You know, there's been a crisis of complacency with the Bolts over the last few years. It's something I've talked about on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast this past year, but it's been bugging me. You see enough games throughout postseasons or stretch runs of regular seasons. How about the first half of 2015-16 when we're following up a Stanley Cup Finals run, where you question whether or not we're all in every night? And to me, that's really, really hard to watch play out, especially last year in the East Finals when you see a team like Washington playing with such desperation, shift for shift. It's amazing to me. You know, I thought when Washington had defeated Pittsburgh in the previous round in the playoffs, you watched those games and the flow of those games and the skill on the ice. Pittsburgh looked absolutely dead-legged. You know, for the dynasty that they had, the body language as Washington was closing out the Pens seemed to read, please finish us. We're done. And Washington didn't know what to do with it because the Caps never beat the Pens. And as a franchise, every time Pittsburgh has won a cup, they've gone through Washington on the way. And for all the Ovi and Sidney Crosby talk, Washington fans at this point, they were defeatists. They thought they had no chance because history demanded that they didn't have a chance. Washington was a group of chokers. They never cashed in on the promise of all of the talent they had for so many years. So until they did, they were never considered to be a Stanley Cup contender. And that's what happens in a best of 7. It can change everything about your reputation at a moment's notice. And the moment that Washington was able to exercise Pittsburgh, their arch nemesis, they entered the Lightning series playing with such fire and passion that you never could have expected. I know I didn't. I thought it would be just this side of a cakewalk, and it was just about who fits us better in the Cup Finals. But will can defeat skill if skill is complacent. I'm not saying that Washington is devoid of it. I'm saying Tampa Bay has more skill than the Capitals do. But Washington wanted it more. And they have a Hall of Famer who transformed his legacy, transformed fundamentally the way we talk about him in the span of about 3.5 weeks' time. Alex Ovechkin's legacy is fundamentally different, not because he hoists a cup, but because of the way he played in the 2018 postseason. It's some of the most compelling stuff you've ever seen. Somebody who has a gifted scoring touch reserved for maybe 5 others, 10 others in the history of the game played it with the intensity of Keith Primo in the 2004 Eastern Finals. For you Lightning fans that go back, you know exactly what I'm talking about. A skater hardly ever can win a best of 7 series by himself through inspiration and production and physicality. Keith Primo almost did in 2004, but he didn't. He came up short. 1 goal short in a game 7. Ruslan Fedotenko, what's up, buddy? But this time, Alex Ovechkin was up to the task. It is one of the great postseason performances you'll ever see. Comprehensive dominance. And it extended into the celebration season. Listen to this clip. Alex Ovechkin, when they won the cup in Las Vegas, and there's a point here where I'm tying it to the Lightning. This is not a love fest for the Caps, believe me. They won the cup in Vegas. He goes absolutely bonkers. There's photos of him passed out next to the cup, hugging the cup as though it's, I don't know, a significant other or a teddy bear when you're a kid. That dude partied day after day after day until his body collapsed. Then when it had just enough energy to reboot, he partied some more. There's video of this guy hoisting the cup over his head and screaming down the left field line at Nationals Park last year while the pitch is in play. He's insane. And he still had enough energy to be full throat at the Capitals victory parade as he screamed to the heavens about the hurdle that they had overcome.
We're not going to be f***ing sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions. Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
He's insane. That's how much winning the cup mattered to this dude. Insanity. We need a little bit more of that in Tampa. When you describe the way we play in the playoffs, do we play with reckless abandon, with the desperation and insanity that you hear in Alex Ovechkin's voice? I mean, listen to this guy. This is the way, if you looked at the way he skated in the playoffs, this is what it would sound like.
Yeah!
Every shift. And it changes the way we talk about him. And the leadership on our team needs that. The way Ryan Callahan played in the East Finals was like that. But we need our stars to be this desperate. That's what I'm looking for this year, is indicators that we care that much about hoisting the cup. You don't have to be as insane as Alex Ovechkin that you're going to take 10 years off of your life celebrating a Stanley Cup win, if you get it. But I'm telling you, there's just a little bit of grit. There's a little bit of will, a little bit of leadership lacking across the board. There are too many times that our quotes to the papers and the way we skate on the ice body language-wise says, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. We'll get them tomorrow. Today doesn't matter that much. Today matters that much. This postseason matters that much. As we go on this 82-game journey, do we have that level of desperation? Whatever the case, it all gets underway tomorrow night for some, if you're listening on Friday, October the 5th. Tonight, if you're listening on Saturday, October the 6th. I want to thank you all so very much. One more time, Bill Curry Ford, thank you so much for jumping on board for this entire season of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I know we've promoted, and I've even said it earlier today, that every Friday will be when you hear from me. However, next week, for my day job, is the bye week for the Florida State football season, so I'm taking Friday off. That means that we will have a Thursday edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast ready for you. It's going to talk about the game we have against Vancouver next Thursday night. We'll react to the Florida game. And then also I'll talk to you about why I believe the Erik Karlsson trade was something we shouldn't have made and why I'm glad we didn't do it. Maybe we'll get into Ryan McDonagh and his extension a little bit too. At any rate, go Bolts, everybody. This is the one. Opening night always counts for two in every one of the sports that you love, right? Baseball especially, one of 162, what does that matter? Well, there's always something about winning that first one. So let's go get those 2 points, put them on the board tomorrow. I love this team. I love this town. Let's make it a memorable 6+ months. Thanks for listening to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.